This happened when I was 19 years old. I'm 29 now, so it was a fair time ago. I live in a rural town. Nothing really happens. All the buildings here are old-fashioned, or the vast majority anyway, and quite a few of them are abandoned since the recession. As I'm 19 years old, since we left school, a lot of my friends have moved out of town. So we still keep in contact over Snapchat, text and WhatsApp or whatever, but we hadn't seen each other in well over a year. There was this one house that was abandoned that me and my friends were always fascinated with when in school. We used to walk past it and talk about what it'd be like to go in there, but we never did it. It was at the back of this unkempt field. It looked like a mansion, but it was all rotting away. There were boarded up windows and graffiti all over the walls, and some of the ceiling looked like it collapsed. It wasn't the best sight, and I'm pretty sure it was fairly unsafe. This building still stands to this day, and I have no idea why nothing's been done with it, or who owns the land. In school, we used to hear horror stories about things that happened there, but of course, none of them were true. It was just kids making up stories. I've never been one to go and investigate something this unsafe. I was always scared to let my mum down. She always told me that I was never to go there, and even when people from school tried to convince us to go in there, we never did. Some of the guys from school went there and said about hearing things and came back with all these horror and ghost stories, but we never really believed any of them. Anyway, one day, my friend Mark hit us up on our WhatsApp group. He'd moved way out of town and we hadn't seen him in ages. He said he was coming back into town. So, now that he was coming back, he said how about we finally investigate that building we were too scared to investigate as kids. We're adults now, we'll be fine. I wasn't too sure. I'm used to my usual routine of just playing video games, going to work, coming home, having something to eat, going back to bed. I don't really like going out and testing myself. Actually, not going out and testing myself and putting myself in situations I fear is one of the things that I don't like about myself. I've always been a person who avoided anything I was scared of. Recently, actually, that's been a bit of a revelation for me. I'm trying to put myself out there more. And when I saw this message, initially, I thought, no, I can't do that. That's a potentially dangerous situation I'm not going to put myself in. But then when I thought about it, this is something that's troubled me since childhood. The fear of not going and doing things. Even not going into this building was something that I was teased for in school by some people. Screw it, I thought. I'm gonna do it. So I got back to Mark in the group chat and told him I'm up for it. He said he'd be in town next week, so he was gonna be staying at his grandma's. There was four of us in this group chat, so we just waited for the others to get back. In typical fashion, it took everyone an absolute age to get back to us. But in the end, everyone was up for it. A couple of us were a little bit more skeptical than others because why would we want to go into this building that's potentially dangerous? Who's in there? Are the stairs even safe to go up? Are we going to fall through the ceiling? We don't know, but we decided we were going to do it one evening. So, Friday evening came round. This is October time, by the way, so it's quite cold. It was very dark, and to be honest, we were all in the Halloween mood. So, earlier that day, my friends came around my house. We chilled out, we had some pizza and popcorn, and we just watched some Halloween movies. We were really getting in the spirit when I think about it. We watched the Halloween movies, and we even watched one of the Saw movies. That kind of set the tone for going to that building for the night. It's only about a 15-minute drive anyway, and it was about 10 p.m. at night, so it was pretty dark. There were so many entries into this house that it was crazy. Most of the boarded up windows had been ripped down, but there were still some old rusty jagged nails sticking out, so you had to be careful. I brought a torch anyway, so we were trying to watch our every step. We made it in the house through a window, and there we were, standing in this eerie house that almost seemed to be lost in time. It was a throwback to the early 1900s. Not much had really changed since at least I'd have to say the 1930s. This house was old. It smelt of damp and there was mess everywhere. It was obvious that there had been some people here before. There was graffiti on the walls and empty cans on the floor. But it was dead silent. So my friends had heard a story about this old woman that used to live in the house. So they were convinced they were going to find her this night. I'm not into ghosts and I really don't believe in them. But my friends do, so I decided that I would go on a little ghost hunt with them. Anyway, we start looking around the house for about 5 minutes, going through into what seemingly was a kitchen once. In some ways, it made me sad. This was someone's family home once, and now it's just gone. Eventually, we decide to break up into pairs. We were going to go upstairs, and my two friends were going to stay on the ground floor. So, me and my friend, Mark, went upstairs together. As we were stepping up these old wooden steps, you could hear the creaking of the floorboards and it almost felt like the house was moving. I told Mark that we had to be completely careful about every step, otherwise we could fall through and seriously hurt ourselves. At one point I said, you know, this is stupid, we should head back, to which Mark said he hadn't come all the way back here for nothing. I sighed and rolled my eyes and just kept going. We got upstairs and we were walking around. To be honest, I was a bit spooked out and also a little bit bored. You know that feeling where nothing's happening but you're on edge? I felt a little bit like that, almost as though I was being watched. We were walking around for probably 10 minutes, just looking at the old pictures on the walls, looking at some of the books on the floor. It was just a weird, surreal experience. That's when we heard screaming from our friends downstairs, who said they saw something. We quickly bolted it downstairs, and we saw both of them, trembling in fear, pressed against the wall. "What's wrong?" I said. Neither of them said anything, and my one friend, Mitchell, put his hand over his mouth, as if telling me to shush and be quiet. "There's someone in there," they said. That's when my heart sank. I didn't want to be in here anymore. "Well, who was it? What did you see?" They said they couldn't tell, but they saw a figure quickly run across one of the door frames. "We need to get out of here." But despite there being so many openings to the house, the nearest one was on the other side of this room. We just stood there against the wall, not knowing what to do, listening for any noise. We didn't hear anything. That's when, all of a sudden, we saw someone at the top of the staircase, looking around as if they was looking for somebody. Now, my heart sank at this point, and I started shaking with fear. All of my friends saw it too, so no one needed to say anything. Thankfully, it was so dark in there, so you couldn't really see very well. There was just a slight illumination from the moonlight that we could see him up there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have seen him at all. It looked as though this person was just creeping around. Now, this 100% was not the ghost they were talking about. I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't even believe they would think this is a ghost. This is a fully grown man, or what seemed like a man, creeping around, peering around doors. Now, I'm assuming they heard us upstairs, and when they heard the scream, they thought that it was us upstairs. There must be another way up there we don't know about, but obviously we ran down the steps. Now, why was someone creeping around specifically looking for someone in the house? Why, if they didn't have bad intentions, did they not call out that they were here so that we could all just nose in the house together? Why were they on their own? I don't know. I whispered to them that we need to quickly get out that window. They all agreed, and on three, we all darted towards the window. Two of my friends jumped out, so it was just me and one other guy that were waiting to leave. That's when I heard running on the top of the staircase. We were spotted. My other friend jumped out the window, and I could hear all my friends telling me to jump out too. But something was stopping me. I was frozen in fear. Fight or flight. But I wasn't doing either. I completely froze. I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. I could see the man coming down the stairs as quickly as possible towards me. I could see his face now and he looked angry. I was so terrified, and then all of a sudden, I felt someone behind me lifting me out the window. It was Mike. Mike dragged me out the window, and that's when my body kicked into action. We all charged towards our car as fast as we possibly could, our hearts beating so fast we couldn't even hear what we were saying. We got in the car, and I drove off as quickly as possible, my hands shaking as I was turning the keys. As we were driving off, we could see the man leaving the house, throwing his arms in the air and punching the ground, as if he'd lost us. As if we were something that he needed that he didn't get. Now we drove back to my house, and we were all terrified. One of my friends suggested to call the police, but what were the police going to do? Technically, we were trespassing, as well as whoever was in that house. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know who that man was, what he wanted, but the whole situation terrified me. It made me realize that despite me wanting to overcome my fears, there are some fears that you don't need to overcome. You didn't need to go into that old abandoned house. You didn't need to put yourself in danger like that. Not just physical danger from this random man who seemed to be so angry at us for no reason, but the danger of treading on a rusty nail or cutting yourself with some old glass. It was just stupid. Now, we got back to my house and we're all pretty shaken up. We all vowed never to go back there again. But part of us does want to go back in the morning, just to see if anyone's there. We decided not to, but I'm still kind of curious. Later that day, my friend had to head back to town, so we never actually got to go back. I'm actually still considering going and having a look, but I'd bring someone with me. I don't know what you guys think, but I have no idea what this person would have wanted. I think it was a really stupid thing to do, but my advice to anyone out there is don't go and explore old abandoned buildings. There's so much risk involved and very little to no reward. Anyway, thanks for listening to this story. Me and my friend Tony have always had a love for the outdoors. When we were kids, we'd play outside all day long. As we grew up into our teenage years, we still loved being outside, but typically we'd spend our time in the woods just behind our houses. These were very, very deep woods. Some areas were so thick you couldn't get through, so we probably only saw 1/5 of what was actually out there. We always pondered what could be in those areas that we couldn't get to. If we got through the thick area of woods and shrubs, that there would be another opening, another area we hadn't found yet. We never did go there because our parents always forbidden us to go that far into the woods. So we always stayed in sight of the houses. We used to have little BB guns and paintball guns and would set up targets and just shoot them off the trees. We're both in our early 20s now, and we met up at a restaurant just to have something to eat and have a talk about old times. Whilst we were talking, we got onto the topic of the woods that we used to love so much. We knew it was still there, but we hadn't been there in ages. So we decided that one day, in the next few weeks, we were going to go down to these woods and camp out there for the night. We were going to try and make our way through that heavily wooded area that we could never get through as kids and weren't allowed to go to. Just to camp and hang out. It's strange. There's something about childhood desires that don't always go away, and the mystery of that air of the woods still stays with us today. Likelihood was, nothing was going to be there. It would just be thick woods for however many miles, and we wouldn't find anything. I wouldn't imagine too many people would have been there, as, like I say, it's kind of out of the way, and probably a real pain to get through. But we were determined to see what was there, and if there were any more openings. Even to have a spot we could maybe hang out at in the future, that only we knew about. Anyway, we went home and forgot about it for a while. We said we were going to meet up in a few weeks, but those few weeks turned into a few months, then those few months into a year, and before we knew it, we were in our mid-20s. We occasionally spoke on Snapchat and WhatsApp, but we hadn't seen each other in a while. One day, at around 2-3 PM in the afternoon, I got a random message from Tony. He asked me if I was still up for meeting up in that spot, and if I wanted to go explore it with him on the weekend. I had nothing I was doing on the weekend, and we hadn't seen each other in a while, So we agreed to meet up, get something to eat, hang out for a bit, then go over to those woods and camp out for a while. To make a long story short, I brought a tent, I got some equipment, I got a lantern and a torch, and all the equipment I thought we would need for a single night in the forest. How hard could it be? I know I had to put up a tent, but I've never stayed out in the woods before. Even if anything happened, we're what, 300, 400 meters away from houses? How bad could it possibly be? Day finally arrived. Myself and Tony both got ourselves ready, got our tents packed up, our equipment, our torches, and set out for the woods. We made our way to the darkest part of the woods we could find, where barely any light was making its way in. It was probably dusk at this time of day anyway, around 6 p.m, so it was hard to see, but that's the reason we have our torches. So we kept going until we found an area that we thought we could make our way through. Like I say, this area of woodland was so thick that you couldn't make it through all the bushes and the trees and the shrubs. I decided that I was going to zip up my coat, put my hat on, pull my socks up, and try and push my way through these trees, just to see what I could find. I told him I was going to do it, and he stepped back. I told him if I needed any help, I'd shout for him. So I was pushing my way through, and made it probably 20 meters into this thick wooded area. I could barely see anything as it was getting darker quicker, and also there were so many bushes and leaves in my face, I couldn't see anything. I kept pushing until I could see some light just ahead of me. Probably a minute later, I could see what was ahead of me. As I always hoped and expected as a kid, it looked as though there was a clearing. However, it didn't go as I expected. What I saw was even better and even scarier than I ever imagined as a kid. It looked as though there was some kind of cave. Now, when I say cave, it was a 6 foot by 6 foot opening that went downwards into the ground. It was almost completely covered by trees and grass, but I could see it went down quite a way. I quickly called back to Tony and told him what I could see. He came bombarding through to get to where I was, so he could see it too. Panting and breathing heavily, and sweating quite a lot, Tony could see exactly what I saw. Excited, we decided to push our way through. As we made our way through, we could see the opening even better. This was clearly a cave. It didn't look as though any people had been there before though. You know, normally if you go into the woods and you go to an area that's not on the beaten path, you normally see tins of cans and crisp packets on the floor. Well, this was completely different. It didn't look as though anyone had been here. This was incredible to us, and it felt like exactly what we wanted as kids. We decided to make a plan. I said that we can camp out in the area we know today, but tomorrow we're going to come back in daylight and try and figure out what's in that cave. We'll come back with torches and a lot more lights, so we can try and see exactly where this place leads. For all we knew, it could only be 5 foot deep and absolutely nothing's there. Even if that was the case, it's still cool and a place we could hang out at. So we went back, and around the opening of the woods we set up our camp. We stayed the night and we had a great time. We cracked open a few beers and had something to eat, but all we could talk about and think about was what was in that cave. It was the main topic of discussion, and all we could think about was how much we would have loved this as kids. Anyway, we went back to mine for the day, hung out for a bit, then decided to head back. It was still daylight out, so we knew we'd see a lot more than we could last night. As we made it up to the cave entrance, one thing stood out to me. It didn't look like it fit in with the rest of the landscape. Where we were was heavily wooded. There was grass and trees and shrubs and plants. This bit here was barren and muddy, and the grass was more sparse than it was in the other areas of the woods. It was weird. I turned on my flashlight and my lantern, and we slowly walked into the cave. The first thing that shocked me was just how deep it was. The light from my flashlight wouldn't reach the walls of the cave. This perplexed me, as it didn't look that big from the outside. All I could hear was water dripping from the roof of the cave, onto the ground around our feet. We walked extremely slowly as we weren't sure what we were going to find in here. It had a really strange distinctive smell, kind of like damp, but not really. It's a smell I've never smelt before in my life, and I'll probably never smell again. Tony said he was going to go explore the other side of the cave. I told him to be careful and to shout me if he needed me. Every word we said echoed around us. It was really strange and felt almost like a surreal experience. After he went, his footsteps slowly and slowly disappeared, getting fainter as he got even more distant from me. I decided just to scan around and see if I could find anything interesting. On the wall, it looked as though there were markings, but I couldn't figure out exactly what. All of a sudden, from behind me, echoing all around the cave, I heard Tony calling for me to come over quickly. I couldn't figure out exactly where he was because of the echoes, but he flashed his light towards me and I made my way over to him. He sounded a little bit panicked in his voice, and I was confused as to what the issue was. I walked over, and suddenly my heart sank. I could see bones. Bones that looked like they'd been there for a while. These also looked like human bones. There were some shoes on the floor as well that looked really old and tattered, almost completely disintegrated to be honest. I also saw an old newspaper propped up on a piece of stone. Now this newspaper was almost completely ruined, but there were a few pages that you could still read. I held up the lantern against it and tried to figure out when it had come from. I held up my lantern against it and tried to figure out exactly how old it was. I could only just about make out April 3rd, 1963. This had been there an extremely long time, and this must be a human body. That freaked us both out, and we decided to leave the cave. Thoughts were swirling in our head. What if those were human bones, and someone had died there many years ago? What if they were never found? Have we just found a crime scene? What happened here? We left, packed up all our stuff, and went back to my place. We called the police, and they came over. We showed them where we went, and how we found the spot. It was kind of hard explaining to them the reason we was in this cave in the first place, and that we were just trying to explore an old woods that we went to as kids, and find some new places to hang out. But of course we did explain this to them, and showed them where the cave was. We gave the police our contact details, and they said that if they needed us, then they'd be in touch. They sectioned the area off, and that was the last I heard for a very, very long time. Now to fast forward to today. It turns out that this was an unsolved murder from way back in the 1960s, a cold case that had been completely forgotten about. If we'd never decided to go into those woods, that case would still be a mystery to this day, and the families would never have had their peace. The case is still undergoing investigation, but what we found that day will stick with me forever. This happened many months ago now, and the thought of what happened still scares me to this day. So I live in a fairly small town. I live on the other side of town to where I work. I commute in by car. Now I could get the bus there, but it's so much easier to drive. In the winter months, when I'm at work, I finish around 6 p.m, which isn't too bad, but this means it's very dark. Because I live in quite a small rural town, I have to go through very small windy roads, almost like dirt roads, with shrubbery on either side of them. And at night time, there's absolutely no lights illuminating the road, so you have to be slow and you have to be careful, which I always am. This isn't necessarily a problem in the summer because it gets dark later on, but in the winter months, it's almost pitch black when I'm driving home. I take the same route every single day, and I've never had a problem before, until this one day. I finished work as usual, and everything was as it always is, boring and mundane. I was driving home down this winding dirt road, when all of a sudden, in the distance, I could see the illumination of a figure. Now, I was quite far away still, so I could only see an outline of a figure, and I couldn't actually make out any facial details or anything. But it looked as though this person was dressed in all white, seemingly a dress, and had long black hair. This creeped me out, but I kept driving as I thought maybe it was just someone walking along the road, which does happen sometimes, but this time of night in the dark, it's not typical, put it that way. As I got closer, it appeared that this woman was in the road, kneeling down and crying. I stopped my car and observed the situation for a second. Something didn't feel right to me as I slowed down and stopped my car. I was on the verge of getting out and seeing what was wrong with the woman, but something in my gut told me not to. I kept my doors locked, and the woman looked up at me. As she looked up at me, I could make out some other figures moving in the bushes just ahead of her. From what I could make out, it looked as though there were masked men hiding in the bushes, waiting to jump out. I quickly floored my car as hard as I possibly could, went round the woman, and sped down the road. I got home, pretty shaken up by what I'd seen. I called the police and told them, and they said they'd send someone out to have a look. Now, I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. What if I hadn't followed my gut instinct? What if I'd got out of the car? What would have happened to me? The next day, the police told me they couldn't find anything, but that there'd been reports of similar incidents, of people getting out of their car, going to help the woman, and masked men coming out the bushes and robbing them. I can't explain how happy I am that I followed my gut instinct, that I didn't get out of that car and didn't try to help the woman. Who knows what would have happened to me. I'm now scared to drive down that road at night on my own, and I'm finding alternative routes to get home.